Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time. Great day. Two big Supreme Court decisions. We have the parliamentarian. Now, yesterday, both Scott Perry and Jeff Andrew both said, hey, you can't put up with this woman. I went back and did some research on this parliamentarian who's been there since Harry Reid, an appointee of Harry Reid. And she's just saying no, no, no to any of these Medicaid cuts, any of these cuts around illegals. You can't do it under some Bird rule. Bird droppings. You remember Bird? He surfaces from the dead. Remember Robert KKKKKK Bird? What did he serve to about the age of 96? He was not just KKK. He was a commander of the KKK, a bigwig in the KKK. And this is his legacy. Between that and Harry Reid, Searchlight, I remember Dingy Harry. Remember that? Rush Limbaugh, Dingy Harry, Harry Reid, not Dirty Harry, Searchlight, Nevada. Yeah. All that going on. Are we going to let this parliamentarian? Well, this John Thune guy doesn't seem to get it. He's giving ground. The parliamentarian says it. Well, the people in the House taking their pulse yesterday. We'll have them on again this week. Perry and Van Drew. They are not going to go back and redo this in the manner of where the Senate is at this point. They're just not going to do that. So if that's the case, then what's going to happen here? If this gets done, they were supposed to vote today, and I don't see any vote on the docket. We're going to come July 4th, and I don't think we're going to have any kind of an agreement. And you know my feeling, if we don't have the agreement, and these guys start to dither. They got to do this. This is a got to. This isn't anything we can fool around with. This bill has to get over the line essentially like it is in the House. You know how much I object to this strong arming around the salt tax, $40,000 deduction. Now, I think you can negotiate the House down to 30. I hate it. I'm against it. But if I were sitting there in the shoes of these guys, would I sign off on it to get the big, beautiful bill? Yes, in the end. You got to do it. This is the gotta. There's no way around this. Now, can Trump strong arm these representatives? He's already got people that are running ads against Massey. Can he bring them in line to say, no, you're not going to get $30,000 in this salt deduction? It's ridiculous, this whole thing. Look at New York. Let's say New York puts this socialist in, which is a real possibility. We're going to allow New York a $40,000 deduction with this maniac there that they elected? No, we're tired of this. And I told you about the Medicaid thing that the Senate, the House really, when Jeff Andrew's been on, they're very reluctant. They're very afraid of this. The Wall Street Journal has this report of the 7.8 million that would be in trouble with Medicaid if these reforms are passed. Some 4.8 million are uninsured. They don't comply with the bill's part-time work requirement. This is a torpedo in the hull for the Democratic talking point that everyone on Medicaid already works. The bill asks able-bodied prime-age adults without children to work or volunteer 20 hours a week. A recent report by the American Enterprise Institute says, for Medicaid recipients who do not report working, the most common activity after sleeping is watching TV and playing video games. They spend 4.2 hours per day watching TV and playing video games, or 125 hours during a 30-day month. In a healthier political culture, even Democrats would agree that men who decline to work shouldn't get free health insurance to check out of life. The real call of duty is getting a job. Another 1.4 million of the uninsured would be people who do not meet citizenship in immigration here illegally. So that brings us to about 7.2 to 7.3 or 4 million people that shouldn't be getting Medicaid here. That's what it comes down to. That's where we are. All right, 855-839-1210, AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All that you have to do is push pound 1210 and we'll get you on board. Why are they so afraid of it, though? Well, even President Trump sends signals saying, well, you know, we're not going to do anything with Medicaid here. I get the populism, but is this populism here with Medicaid? Or is this the reality? These people got to be off Medicaid, both those here illegally and those who will refuse to work a part-time job or volunteer, as I said. But they're treating this like the third rail. They're scared to death of what the media will do. Social Security, I get it. That's a really tough thing, as you know. You get killed with it. It's unrelenting. Is this the same thing, though, with Medicaid? How does this get worked out? I think they're going to have to go right through that parliamentarian. I think the Senate's going to have to do that. If they don't do it, she's going to throw her body in front of it and hold this up. They'll dither and dither and dither. And the House is not in sync with them based upon hearing Perry and Jeff Van Drew yesterday. The House is definitely not in sync with them. All right. I'd like to get you on board. 855-839-1210, AT&T. And Verizon Wireless, all that you have to do is just push pound 1210 and we'll get you on board. Today is also the one-year anniversary of the moments. Do you remember where you were in the great debate, particularly when Biden stumbled unbelievably and President Trump jumped in to say, I don't think he knows what he's talking about. I don't know what he's talking about. I watched it again last night. It wasn't shocking to me then, but I knew there's a real good chance they're going to have to tag Biden out. And did they set him up? Did they put him in there intentionally to get him out of there? I'm still not on board with that theory because these people in the White House, we now know, they were running big time. They had power that they would never have. And I think they wanted to continue it. Here is, and just listen to the, just the lowbrow way this woman talks, the wife, Dr. Jill Biden. This is May 20th, 2024, cut 10, youtube.com/1210WPHT, where Dr. Jill Biden says that the debate will demonstrate how smart Joe Biden is.
But I think the American people deserve a debate because you need to see your choices. You need to see Trump and you need to see the president and you need to see the differences. And my husband's, and you're going to see how smart he is and the experience he has. And then you'll see somebody who, like you're saying, I'm going to use Joy's words, can't put a sentence together.
Can you imagine the view? And this woman who's also a dope, Dr. Jill Biden. Look, everybody would take up for your wife. We get that. But this was to the extreme. This was abusive. This was something out there that is just ridiculous. So 855-839-1210, you get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, you just push pound 1210. You can get in. And this guy in New York, obviously to me, is somebody who is a menace, more to Democrats. Now, over a four-year period of time, I guess he could do a lot of havoc in New York. But isn't it deserved? This is the stuff they want. This guy is the ultimate part of a progressive who succeeded, who potentially has captured real power. It will be a laboratory to show what they're all about, how destructive they are, how incrementally. I mean, this guy is not much further along. Well, certainly he's not any further along than Bernie or AOC or members of the squad or these progressives think that he's way out there. Yeah, he's beyond, let's say, Matt Eindean, but not that much. Not as much as you think. He's just willing to say it. He just put it down on paper. He's a bit flashier with it. It's not really, Mikey Sherrill got it. We're going to talk with State Senator Holly Schapese at 1:30 about this. She said, I share his goals. I love the energy. I love how he's reaching young people. That's what our party has to do. Now, who's advising Mikey Sherrill to say, I share his goals? His goals are the destruction of America. And you're not allowed to bring up. Now, if he were just Muslim, okay, bringing up his faith here, you'd have to answer the question, why are you doing that? But he's a Holocaust denier in several instances. He denies, he will not say Israel has a right to exist. After October 7th, he chastised Israel and talked about how this was a reaction to what they've done, what Hamas did. So, yeah, we're going to bring that up. And I wonder how many people that are Jewish in New York are crazed and progressivism took over and they voted for this guy. So he was asked that question, sort of, youtube.com/1210WPHT. He was asked that question and he was asked, yes, this is cut 16. Listen to the response that he knows that Jewish Americans are afraid because of him.
All right, I'll be honest. Okay. I don't know what happened right there. That's a complete wrong video. I'll go find that.
All right. So he said that Jewish Americans are afraid, but I would increase funding for hate crime prevention. Wait a minute, buddy. You're the hate crime. You're a walking hate crime. What are you talking about that you're going to increase funding for hate crime prevention? You're the one that's doing it. All right, 855-839-1210. Hit us on the side question, too. Dom Giordano with you. Your call's coming up at 1:30. Holly Schapese. We have Dom's Money Melody a little bit later on. And we have the winner of the week for a $50 gift card to Gallows. All straight ahead on Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. Holly Schapese in the On Deck Circle. Get in. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us with that resort summer shore smell. That's what we're looking for today. These are not that hard. You know, you got a 1 out of 5 chance to win. All right, we've been talking, though, the breaking news, both the Supreme Court decisions and the impact, particularly of the one with the injunction, but the impact of the other is to throw down the gauntlet and to make the case these rotten public schools. Imagine this premise. In Maryland, they were going to stick it to these parents. They were going to force their little children, pre-K, K, and the like, under the guise that this was literature. You couldn't get out of this. You couldn't opt out. They argued that allowing the parents to opt their kids out of these materials would take away too much from the community. They want to be part of the community. They have to hear this. Muslim parents, they did it. You know, let's make the point. Let's be clear. I don't have to worry about politically correct stuff. If these were Christian parents, they would have gone downtown even more. But even they, you know, think, well, this might be a nope. They were boldly going to tell, essentially, a lot of these Muslim parents, no, you have no religious rights here. We don't care what you say. Your kid is going to learn our perverted version of the world. The king marrying the knight. They got to be there for that lesson. It's literature. It's not something you can opt out. In other words, they made more of it into the curriculum in order to try to prevent them from opting out. All right. And the Supreme Court, 6-3. What's wrong with the other three judges? They're locked into their ideology, said no. The bigger one, essentially, the Supreme Court did not rule on birthright citizenship, but that case is going forward. And think of how many presidents would decry birthright citizenship and how bad it is. And yet, nothing was done about it. Trump is. And with that executive order now, there's going to be quite a battle over this. And this is pretty clear to me when I look at the case that the founding fathers really mean 32 people are going to come here because of the nexus, these dominoes around birthright citizenship. You get in, you get over the finish line, the kid's born here, and then for the rest of perpetuity, we add to this mess. Is it conceivable the founding fathers thought that? Of course they didn't think that. But that's what the argument is of the other side. So now that battle will go forward. But these are big, big wins. By the way, Gavin Newsom is suing Fox News, particularly Jesse Waters, around did the president call him, or it seems to be what time did the president call him, around the LA stuff. And he's demanding Dominion, remember that, the voting machines money from this. He's trying to get his name out there. I don't think this stands a reasonable chance at anything. It's a good play on his part politically, though. And watch the media. How often do they demean? And Trump has won any number of these. I mean, based upon the time I spent in law school, I don't know how Trump has gotten these judgments. It's very hard when you have someone as prominent, as public of a figure as President Trump, to sue them around character assassination, defamation. Very difficult what you have to prove. But Trump has been steadfast. He got the Stephanopoulos money. He looks like they're looking for a settlement with the CBS money. And when is the last time you saw someone with universal name recognition, celebrity, President Trump, win on something like this? It just doesn't happen. They give up even trying it. It's impossible, seemingly, to do it. So we got that going on, and he is, Newsom is doing the same thing, and yet we hear complaints all the time that Trump is trying to shut down the First Amendment. They're claiming that Waters lied about this when he said that Newsom was lying. I don't think it stands much of a chance because there wasn't malice. It wasn't something wild that was said. It was something that was in contention on the Jesse Waters show. All right. By the way, several of you hit me. I get it. The Jimmies are chocolate and the sprinkles are multicolored. Well, that's okay enough. But I mean, it seems to me to go beyond that. You have people that call everything Jimmies. The multicolored, the sprinkles seems to be the bigger thing now. All right. The Inquirer following my lead now, opening up that battlefield. So if you have another one, next time we're at Mulligan's. It's a lot of fun to get it going on. You know, we don't want to get crazy. We lost on the gravy sauce. We'll see if there's another one out there. You can hit me on Twitter at DomShow1210 if you have one. Or just send an email and we'll consider it. All right, Joe's in Columbus. Joe's next here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe, welcome in.
Hey, Dom. Good afternoon. And not to put the final nail in this sauce gravy debate, I would like to refer you to one of my favorite Italian restaurants. It's in a place called Groveville, New Jersey, owned and operated by a real authentic Italian immigrant by the name of Luana. And as I was paying my bill last night, I had to ask her. I said, Luana, you call this stuff on top of the, what do you call this stuff on top of the pasta? What do you mean, Joseph? I said, this stuff, the orange stuff. And she couldn't get it for a while. I said, what do you put on pasta? She finally said, sauce. I said, was it ever gravy? She goes, no, Joe, that came over as a result of the Italians being persecuted, living in slums. She said they lived in sewers, and they had to adapt to the word gravy just to look like they assimilated, because gravy was on everything. And she told me, she goes, gravy is brown, but we ended up calling our sauce gravy just so we could look like we were part of the American lifestyle.
All right. I'm going to bring that woman to a jury in South Philly. She's not getting out alive, Joe.
Dom,
good try.
I'll tell you, she's a tough bird.
Yeah.
But when she's right, she's right.
Well, Joe, I put you in charge of the commission. This was such fun. We need another one of these where there's a little vote. The next one will be in August at Mulligan's, I believe. And I need one that will be, you know, right, like at 49-51, something like that. I'm looking for one. This is still an all-timer. It will never go away.
Yeah, we need the controversy. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, who would you say, Joe? I'll put you on the spot. Who body of work up until now, he's not done yet, Reagan or Trump?
Reagan, without a doubt.
Oh, wow, Joe. You know, they're going to come after you. I'm in agreement.
Well,
that's pretty bold.
Dom, in 4 years, 10 years, 20 years, I'm ready. I will more than be happy to change that to Trump.
Right.
But right now, it's Reagan.
Well, I would lead with the greatest accomplishment of a president, as I see it in my lifetime or even anything I know of, Joe, bringing down the Soviet Union. He did it.
Absolutely.
He brought them down. And it seemed to be, come on, beyond belief if you lived during that period of the Soviet Union, you're just going to have to Cold War with them. It's never going to be brought down. Trump's biggest achievement, and it's more subtle, is we are not going to get in unending wars, particularly the Republican
right.
Party. And it's subtle as that it's not as massive as the Soviet Union. But you know what? In some ways, it's every bit as difficult to move away from getting involved in wars.
Right. And Dom, Trump's going to have to prove that by ongoing maintenance, because
yes.
that's going to keep coming at him from various nations.
Yeah.
But we can't overlook Reagan with the Contra affair and admitting his mistake like a true
right.
adult gentleman. You know,
yeah.
he just said, I made a mistake. We're not going to, you know, push this under the rug. We're not going to spin it. I was wrong. You don't get many leaders who do that.
Yeah, I might do that one, Joe, but I'm predicting they're going to go with Trump. It's hard.
Well, I'd be more than happy to change my vote to Trump.
Yeah.
I really would. But right now it's Reagan.
All right. What's your side, Joe?
Dom, mine was, and it goes back in time, where every beach town you ever pulled into had those big billboards. You can see it. You close your eyes, you could see it, with the dog tugging on the little girl's bikini bottom. And then when you got to the beach, you smelled that overall smell, the universal smell of every pretty girl on the beach wore Copper Tone.
Copper Tone's a great one. Yes. That is
it wafted
great...
all over the beach.
I love that smell, right? It's right up there with big hair. You got both.
And lacquer.
Thank you, Joe. Great call. Robert of Ben Salem, you've been AWOL. I was just telling somebody, where is Robert?
I'm never AWOL, Dom.
Okay.
I was just kidnapped for a couple days.
Oh, okay.
But I was still listening.
Okay. Yeah, but the call is it.
Well, I'm glad to be back. And like I said, I didn't miss anything. I had a farmer all picked out a couple days ago, but, you know,
okay.
things came up.
Okay.
I agree with Joe a little bit as far as Reagan-Trump. In the end, I think Trump is going to outdo him as far as accomplishments, but we have to bear in mind that Reagan had a Democratic House the entire time he was in office. So
you know
he
what?
Had a
That's
much
true.
Higher.
That, yeah.
So he had, but I think that, and plus Reagan changed, and it's going to be the same thing. Reagan changed a 40-year paradigm as far as the Cold War goes. Trump's in the process of changing another 40-year paradigm as far as the world geopolitical situation and our economic and tariff situation. So they're both going to go down as incredible presidents,
both,
in my view.
Both shot, too. Reagan more severely.
Yeah, I know, man. And I'm not even going to get into that. But I agree with you that, in a way, Mamdani should win in New York, just because you have two alternatives when you have that many Democrats, okay? A Republican winning, which is not going to happen, or going full-blown socialist and going down the tube and learning your lesson, and it seems like we have to go through that every 30 or 40 years in this country. You know what I mean? But it will be interesting because Sliwa got a third of the vote in the last mayoral election, and I think he'll do just a little bit better this time. So that leaves Adams and Mamdani to split the other two-thirds, and nobody knows how that's going to turn out.
Yeah.
And I'm be interested to see a guy win with 40% of the vote. You know,
well, that's why I would encourage Curtis, who's a friend, Robert, I hope to have him on Monday or Tuesday, to stay in the race. These people, these Republicans dithering, though, if he stays in the race, he's got a shot to win. If he stays in the race, Mamdani may win, which it's wild to say it. This would help us win the midterms big time. So either way, Curtis, stay in the race.
And there's no other questions. We've seen this play out before. Look at Chicago. Look
right.
at Los Angeles. Look at San Francisco. There's nothing new here. They just never learned, Dom.
Well, the only new thing, this guy is a slicker, but he's direct. I give him that. Jew hater, anti-Semite, big time.
But through all the background, the two lowest rated entities in America right now is the DNC and the mainstream media.
Exactly.
So they can puff and puff all they want. I'm kind of with Joe and the other callers in a little bit, but for me, it's an amalgamation of smells. We used to go down to Wildwood for a week every summer. We stayed at a church right off the beach, and we go out on the boardwalk. And yeah, the seawater, the sea smell in the air, the salt smell, I'm so sorry, in the air smells good, but it's the coconut that's in the suntan oil mixed with the hot dogs and the french fries cooking on the boardwalk. And then you wrap it all together with that slight sweet smell of cotton candy. Every time I went down there, and it was wonderful. So I'm just going to go with a cacophony of beach smells from Wildwood.
You're back. You're a poet.
You guys have a wonderful day, man.
Thank you, Robert. All right. I love how those two put that together. Those are great smells. Shore, resort, summer smell. Hit us with that. 855-839-1210. State Senator Howie Schapese will be with us at 2 o'clock. She made news because everybody's retweeting and on what she said about Mikey Sherrill, who tried to get away. Her next dodge now today, Sherrill, the candidate for Democrats for governor, initially said, I share the goals of Mondani, and then set at it and the energy and the youth and all this. When she got caught up in that, she said, hey, Jack Chatterell, he's not paying attention to people in Jersey. I don't have any more time for this New York politics. Oh, really? No. You're not getting away with this. This guy is toxic to the other side because they're afraid. There's a revolution in the Democrat Party coming after them. They don't want to go after him. But then if they comment on him, how in the world, given his anti-Semitic stuff, his rapping, his socialism, his nuttiness, how do they say anything about it? They're just going to try to dodge it and hope it goes away? Run, Curtis, run. That's my message for next week. 855-839-1210. Okay, it is Dom time. A small story, but it illustrates some of the bigger stories. What we're seeing in New York with this guy, what we're seeing with every one of these progressives. And we'll try to get him on. I don't know that he'll get through the House in Pennsylvania. State Senator Frank Ferry has been on the show before. I think he's a first responder guy. I think he was at the Dr. Oz thing that I remember. He, for some time, has been trying to get through the state Senate, particularly due to COVID, the so-called Commuter Tax Fairness Act to protect local taxpayers. They don't even come into Philadelphia. They really don't have anything to do with it. And this became apparent during COVID because they didn't come into Philadelphia from the office. He makes the point, and we've seen this forever, Philadelphia is the only one out of these hundreds and hundreds of municipalities in Pennsylvania that says no. You're going to pay the city wage tax for those that are outside the city. I mean, I plead insanity. I live inside the city, and it's ridiculous. It's confiscatory. So he got it passed in the Senate, the Commuter Tax Fairness Act, to protect local taxpayers. Now it goes to the House in Pennsylvania. The point is, progressives and Democrats, up and down the line, we have to be unified. We shouldn't feel, well, why am I not getting a tax break that Trump is out there pumping the no tax on tips? Let's liberate those people. No tax on overtime. That could be a lot of people. I hear some people complaining, oh, then there'll be mandatory overtime. Stop it already. Fight every tax, fight it every day, and use that against them in a populist kind of manner. And this is just an example that COVID brought home, meaning people were working out of their homes. So in what universe, you know what they always say, and look, I don't feel sorry for athletes as much, but I don't care how much you make or how little, I'm going to fight for your right against those that want to tax you. I think we've looked up, Dan, in the past, what happens if you're an athlete coming into Philadelphia, how much you'd have to pay, say you're coming just to play the Sixers or the Eagles or something like that, for one day that you're here. And they tell you, well, do you want to have a fire department? It's the same nonsense that they tell you at the Jersey Shore with the beach tax, which I resent are ungodly and unconstitutional. You know what? If we didn't come to the Jersey Shore, what would you have then? How would you be able to make out? How would you make an astronomical living during those 3 or 4 months? We're the ones bringing stuff to you. You're charging us ridiculously in some of these places. It's the same thing with Philadelphia. Well, you want to have fire? You want to have, you mean you're not going to have fire or have cops if you don't charge people from outside the city these taxes? They've gotten away with this. There was a congressman, William Gray. He was the architect of this. The train station's named after him. Shaka Fatah was his acolyte and continued this. And I'm glad this guy got it passed in the Senate. Now, what will the House do? Meaning, if you're in the suburbs and you come to work in the city even a little bit, you are not going to have to pay this tax. That's what it comes down to. What is it, around, ours, I think, if you live in the city, is over 3. I get the exact number here. And for years, this has gone on. Forever and ever. Well, what about the people in the city? Why do they have to pay it on their income? And then we have some communities, you may be in one of them, they're charging an earned income tax in the municipality, if you live in it. I'm against that, too. It's ridiculous. At every level of government, we are way overtaxed. I don't even know if I can set the flat tax of what it should be anymore. Probably under 15%. And they will continue to do it as long as they are able to get away with it. And so far, in Pennsylvania, they've succeeded. But that's just a snapshot of what's going on nationally with the Trump tax cuts, the big, beautiful bill, and where we are. And I guess I was surprised yesterday when we had on both Van Drew and Perry. They seem adamant. They think this parliamentarian is going to shut this down. And they are urging the Senate to say, no, you're not, lady. You're a Harry Reid stooge that was put in here. You are not going to do this. We are not going to let you throw out the cuts that are in here that are legitimate. Not going to let it happen, so you can say whatever you want. We're going to bypass it. Oh, my God, we're violating the parliamentarian, completely unelected bureaucrat, the legacy of Harry Reid, of all people. And they're using this Byrd Amendment. The guy was KKK, Robert KKK Byrd. Remember that? How many years we said that? The Byrd droppings to say, nope, nope, nope. You're putting in cultural issues along with financial. You can't do that. I mean, I'm all about the Senate. What is it that the Constitution, who said this? Was it Jefferson, somebody, that the Senate is the saucer that allows the cooling passions to kind of calm down a bit when you pour it? I'm butchering that, but it's something like that. Okay, I get that. This is dithering, though. I will be shocked if the Senate has that bill anywhere near July 4th. They're already dithering, pushing it back as we speak. And then they have to reconcile with the House. How's that going to happen by July 4th? And think about it. The dithering then starts. Well, it's hot. We're getting into August. We'll do that after Labor Day. Trump knows that. He knows what these guys are about. It seems to me, though, Trump is not putting the leverage on the senators. He apparently is going to put it on the Congress people. And he doesn't seem like he's putting the leverage on the SALT people. That's who I would put on, these guys in New York. I don't think they ought to get a $40,000 break from their federal taxes. All right, 855-839-1210, you get on board. But this Frank Farry, Frank, good work. Now can it get through the House? We have a lot of listeners in the suburbs. COVID underlined it. They didn't even go near Philadelphia. They were working out of their home. Even if the business was there or somehow or another. Look, I remember they'll do anything to hook you up to Philadelphia. We had this unfortunate accident down the shore. I don't even want to say the company because they did nothing wrong. An 11-year-old stood up and fell from a roller coaster. Not a roller coaster, Ferris wheel. And even though it was in the Jersey Shore, I'm not sure if it was Wildwood or not. They did everything they could, and I think they succeeded, to get it into the jurisdiction of Philadelphia. Why? They couldn't wait to award millions of dollars. They hate corporate America. Yeah, but the kid in the hall, nope, we're going to get you. And Philadelphia has the same attitude. So if you're an athlete, as much as we think athletes are overpaid, I'm not going to count somebody else's money. Sometimes they could pay $50,000 or $60,000. I've seen numbers like that for coming to Philadelphia to play the Eagles. That's just wrong. That's immoral. Well, do you want a fire? Do you want police? Do you want lights? Do you want water? Give me a break. And you go, oh, so you're crying for these athletes. No, it's a principle. I don't want you to take one more dollar from anyone, whether they're poor or even Jeff Bezos and what he's doing in Venice. You know, they're criticizing them. They don't seem to be criticizing Oprah, who's sitting there in the boats in Venice, though. Oprah, it's okay. It's outlandish. Some of the figures, some of the stuff they're doing, I think it's bad taste, but that's not my money. If that's the type of wedding they want, if that's what he wants to do, that's fine with me. I mean, I can have an opinion on it. I don't know about the bride's outfit. Wow. And Venice doesn't seem to like it. All right, 855-839-1210, jump on board. Hey, big news. Rescue Natural Supplements is rolling back the clock and prices. That's right, the supplements you trust at prices you haven't seen in over a decade. Plus, they're offering a massive 33% off on top of the already discounted 2010 rollback pricing. That's every product, Omega 15s, Omega 35s, probiotics, joint support, everything. Prices roll back to get you ready for summer. Just use the code WELLNESS at checkout. 33% off your entire order on Rescue single bottles. To order, call a Rescue product consultant at 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483, or shop online by visiting res-q.com, res-q.com. Feel better. Get active. Turn back the clock with Rescue's 2010 pricing. Again, use that code WELLNESS, 33% off any single bottle. That code WELLNESS, W-E-L-L-N-E-S-S, for 33% off. That's on top of the 2010 rollback pricing. Get healthy. Get saving. res-q.com. Do it today. All right, Dom Giordano show. Going to Dan here in a second. But if you're buying one of those Trump hats, consult your local Funkin' Wagnalls, your grammar book. We're going to put one up on YouTube. And I saw it this morning and I asked Ro, does this look funny to you? This is when Trump dropped the F-bomb, which was legit, talking about the Israelis and the Iranians not getting it. And the hat has a bleep in there with the F-bomb. It doesn't spell the whole word out, but it says they're not getting it. Check the spelling of there. Does that seem a little bit funny to you? All right, we'll see when we have it. We'll put it up. Dan, what do you have, though, on the Saudi Arabians that
Dom, a very controversial thing that's been playing out the past couple of days is WWE has started doing a regular kind of appearance in Saudi Arabia, and they have the Night of Champions coming up, a big-time event. And in the past, there have been a lot of criticism over whether or not WWE is essentially being bought out by the Saudis to sportswash. We see it with LIV Golf. We see it all over the place.
Right.
This goes on for years and years, and this year it becomes a controversy because there's questions of whether or not the wrestlers will be able to fly in or fly out with the Iran and Israel situation. But one of the developing storylines through the entire week has been a wrestler by the name of CM Punk. CM Punk is someone that you've probably heard of. He was involved with the UFC for a while, a WWE, then went to AEW, then back to WWE. Dom, this wrestler, CM Punk, one of the biggest in the land, when he was working for AEW, notably made a very, very strong tweet condemning the work of WWE wrestlers in Saudi Arabia, essentially saying profanely to go perform a sexual act to those in Saudi Arabia for selling out to them. He's been criticized by Saudi Arabians because he's now agreed to come to Saudi Arabia. And the question has been, how would he be received? How would he treat this? And Dom, it's just sad to see a legend such as CM Punk being able to sell out for sports washing, the way that we often talk about here on the Dom Giordano program, to Saudi Arabia. Take a listen to the audio.
for a mean tweet I wrote 6 years ago. Hey, listen. Legitimately had nothing to do with Saudi Arabia. I woke up and I was crabby and I wrote a mean tweet to The Miz. And I apologize to The Miz. And sir, what's your name? Mohammed? Watch out, I'm going to step right here. Mohammed? I sincerely apologize to you and all of Saudi Arabia. I am not perfect by any means.
Oh, go ahead.
Sometimes, as human beings, we screw up. The beautiful thing is, everything is a lesson learned.
All right, so they're spending billions of dollars. I can't stand them. I get it. Trump using them in various ways. John Cena had to apologize in Mandarin, I think, because he said something about communist China.
Oh, it's so disappointing to
see.
Yeah,
it is.
It is.
Yeah, it is just, it is sports washing. That's what they're engaged in, and I wouldn't have any of those LIV golfers playing in the PGA Tour. I don't think they ought to be able to do it. Again, is it effective? By the way, President Trump just announcing all trade discussions with Canada are terminated, and I'm watching the markets. Oh, man, here we go. Things were rolling along here. Here we go. They were rolling along because the tariffs apparently appear to have worked, and there appears to be a deal with China. We'll see. It went down 0.13, the Dow did, just after this announcement. So, you know, here we go again with Wall Street and the back and forth over this. I'm not sure what happened with China. This is also the one-year anniversary of Joe Biden and the moment where he was out in the election. We played you Dr. Jill Biden. This is cut 11. Here's Biden losing his train of thought, stumbling for like 30 seconds just to make any kind of point. Cut 11.
Care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with the dealing with everything we have to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare because all of these people are coming in. They're putting them on Medicare. They're putting them on Social Security. They're going to destroy Social Security. This man is going to single-handedly destroy Social Security. These millions and millions of people come.
Again, that was the moment, then it unraveled even more coming out of that 1 year ago today. Feels like it's a lot longer, doesn't it? Coming up, one of our favorites, Jersey State Senator Holly Schapese. We had her on many times of all these outrageous things going on in Jersey schools. She's the first one that went after Mikey Sherrill because Sherrill made a statement essentially supporting part of what this socialist running for the mayor's office in New York has been saying. And a lot of people are retweeting that and moving the Schapese point forward. This guy's a menace, but he's a menace that helps us. John Fetterman, it's Christmas in July for Republicans. She's next on Talk Radio 1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.